time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We are back, back in your ear canal, another week. Black History Year, thriving, still out here. You know, about to walk up into August. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good, man. Feeling good. Feeling great, feeling good. Yeah. Yes, sir.
There you go. Feeling good, feeling great. Speaking of that, I seen a new Big Boy video with him spitting.
Really?
And it was good. It was good. Yeah. It was a little clip that's floating around. It might be part of a full clip, but... yeah, I try to find it and put it in the world, but yeah.
Was it a music video or just?
It's like a music video. You know, nowadays you could kind of just make your own little visual. You know what I'm saying? Like it was well done. You know what I'm saying? It was lifestyle mainly. It wasn't like there was a treatment or anything for it. It was like him in a car and him like maybe at a studio, that type of thing. But. He was getting to it, and he had a dope little hat on that was a playoff for the Atlanta Hawks hat, but it said cast.
Oh, wow.
She was kind of tough. Yeah. And I was like, damn, it would be kind of ill, because he sounded good. And I was like, it would be kind of ill if Outkast did some old, just out the blue, just dropped an album. You know what I mean? Just out the fucking blue, because that would fit them, too. Just out the blue, just put some shit out. You know what I mean? Like, without all of the preamble.
Yeah, it will fit them. You know what I'm saying? They could do it. If anybody could, they could. Yeah. But
it's probably not going to happen. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Big Boy just, you know, with the world opening back up, Big Boy trying to put some product out there, get back on that Rizzo'd.
Yeah, that's probably what it all comes down to. But it was something. It was something. Yeah. So what's up with you, though, man? You said feeling good, feeling great. What you been up to this week?
Just chilling, man, working, you know, trying to get the run up together. You know, it's hard to say what you've been doing when you've been doing a whole lot of shit, but it's nothing that, you know what I'm saying? It's just pre-game shit. It's like working out, you know, it's like preseason workouts in training camp.
Right.
What'd you do? Man, you ran some scrimmages, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like, okay, it go up on the board or nothing. So, so just been putting out, you know, pitching, proposals, calls, follow-ups, chasing invoices, the typical entrepreneur shit.
Right.
But... shit you ain't really had to do in over a year. Well, I ain't had to do in over a year. So it's like getting back into the groove of like sales, you know what I'm saying? Putting something out there every day till you start closing. But in the meantime, you working at it. You know what I'm saying? You're developing your pitch. You're developing your brand. And you're developing the product that you're creating. So all this is in development. So it's like them weird times where, you know, it's how it was when we first started the pod. It was like, you know, so where you gonna be? Shit, I'm gonna be in Brooklyn.
right. Be around, be moving around. I saw a saying, somebody said, typically you don't plant seeds and collect your harvest on the same day. You know
at
what
all.
I mean? So. You know, yeah. So you get there, you're putting it out there, you're getting that, you're tilling that soil. I believe I said that right. I'm not even sure if tilling the soil is what you're doing, but anybody with a green thumb, would interject. You know, hit us in the comments. Maybe I'm fucking up, but I hear that though. That's what's up. That's good to hear.
It's funny you be putting out those call to actions on the comments. And the other week when I say, you know, when I be doing my philosophizing, I always be like sometimes, so you can say sometimes in the search and get some of the Ali-isms and shit. And niggas went and did that shit. and search that
shit. Yeah, give them the prompt.
Popping them shits up and sending them to me. And I'm like, wow.
That's fun. That's fun. I didn't know they should like them. Like,
do it.
Right. Right. They should like them. Like, you'd be like an old past shit from the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like them. That felt like you being haunted by your old thoughts.
Nah, because all my thoughts is like still. Okay, yeah. I mean, I probably got some shit out there I probably, but a lot of that shit be like, okay, shit, still feel that way.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be something new or something you disagree with, but it might be some shit you forgot about. Like, Oh, right, I did say that one. Oh, right. That's an old one. You know, People come up to me sometimes, be like, yo, somebody came up to me the other day. Yo, man, you had this one joke about a book bag. That shit was hilarious. And I was like, I had a joke about a book bag. I don't remember it at all. They was like, nah, nigga, that shit was funny as shit. Now I'm trying to rack my brain. Like, especially when you giving me that type of endorsement. That shit was funny as shit. I need to go ahead and figure that out. Put that back in the set.
Shit, yeah. Niggas be getting me every week. You're like, yeah, when you said, like, I said that. Yeah, I'm talking about after we get off the pod, I forget all that shit nigga be talking about.
Word. It was a conversation.
I'm going to hit you like you know exactly what they talking about. I'll be like, man, that was 3 days ago. I don't know. But then once you no figure clue. It out, you be like, oh, yeah, I did say some shit like that.
Mm-hmm. Still. Yeah, man.
Oh, well, while we here, let's give a shout out to Cameron Barnes out there on the Twitter sphere.
Shout out. Shout out to that man. Yeah, I saw that. He was like, damn, motherfucker, I don't get no shout out. Nah. Yeah, shout out to Cameron Barnes. He was out there. He been, you know what I mean? Yeah, a loyal listener.
Yeah, he been riding.
Yeah. Shout out to all the loyal listeners. You know what I mean? Definitely, man. Yeah. And hit us in the comments. You know what I mean? Let us know. Let's keep that engagement going. I like the engagement. Word. You know what I mean? As long as it ain't no dickhead shit. Wow. Yeah, man. Yeah. But you know, it is what it is. What was I gonna say? I'm trying to figure out, you know, like, I still feel like this comeback is, when I say comeback, I mean just like this post shutdown, open up the world type of thing, this little transition period to where we may or may not be having another wave. There's, you know, mask mandates coming back in certain places, things like that. Certain places still, you know, doing takeout. You know what I mean? You can't really be there. Some people wearing, you know, some people choosing to wear masks, some people not.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a little, it's touch and go. Just navigating that. And then what I've realized is like, it's not even just that, and I guess maybe it's 15 months of being in the house. It's things that may have been no-brainers. It's almost like amnesia on a certain level. Like, I'm trying to rebuild how I program my day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I used to, you know, before, you know, obviously I go out when I got to go out. If I got a show, then I got a show. That's you know, that's what I do, and I know to do that. I put it on the calendar, whatever. That's the reason to do that. Or if I'm like, you know, let me take a walk or do some exercise-based shit or whatever. But, like, you know, like, just programming the day is still kind of still a little holes in it. Like, you know, like, I'm almost forgetting what I used to do. Now, I know I used to love going to, like, a museum, or I'd go to the movies or something like that. Or, you know, I might go to this particular office and, you know, these people don't even do the office thing no more. So that's kind of out. Like, it's just kind of, you know what I mean? Like, just reconfiguring my day, mostly, like, the daytime stuff, like, you know, like, and it's really like now that this is, you know, we're in the midst of the summer, it's so shiny outside, it's so much bright sun out there. I feel terrible when I'm just in the house sitting around. So I'm like, man, let me just go outside just to get outside. You know, I'll be feeling like I'm parenting myself. Boy, go outside. You know what I mean? So I just go outside and then I'm outside with no real direction. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, you know what I mean? I feel like a video game character. You know, we got the video game character that if you don't touch the controller for a while, you see them start kicking their feet. You know what I mean? Or just looking around, whistling and shit. Like, yo, what we doing, bro? Where's your intention? So I'm just trying to build that back, you know, get me some new activities. And it's a process. It's a process, man. You know, that's something that's been on my mind.
Yeah, it is limited. You know what I'm saying? Like, the stuff you used to be able to do is still limited. Like, I feel it on the bookstore, right? The bookstore is open. Barnes & Noble's is open. But you can't grab the books and sit down in the cafe, at least the ones I've been to. It's kind of like, that takes all the fun out of this shit. You know what I'm saying? And you don't want to stand up and try to read. You want to get comfortable and peruse. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing, you know. Yeah, like the offices, used to just drop by. You know, man, ain't nobody in there. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's a new world, man. It's I don't know how fast is. I don't think it's gonna be the same as we know the same to be, because you know it's we inserted this whole thing. So it's now reprogramming yourself and your time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's like that quote, you know what I'm saying? You got to learn, unlearn, and relearn. And right now, it's unlearning some shit and relearning other shit. And figuring out how you going to move in this shit. Because it ain't stopping, you know what I'm saying? It's just new people coming, figuring new shit out. And then they just doing new shit. And you still standing there waiting on the bookstore to open up. Like, when they going to let the books out?
Books?
Standing in front of the store. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody moving on. Like, you can't be that. You know what I mean? You gotta figure out how to move on, how to get your discovery and your information. And you know what I mean? Cause I use the bookstore for discovery, and which is quite the balance to creating. You know what I mean? So you got creating on one side, but then it's discovery that helps inspire you along the way. And you know, you just go in there and grab some shit off the shelf and flip a page to whatever you land on. And you're like, oh, shit, that's interesting. Oh, damn, who is that person? Or that name? Damn, who that? You know, so that's how you would get that. You could do it on the internet, but it's not the same, because in order to discover on the internet authentically, you have to be able to type something in. You got to almost know halfway what you want to see. Before you, you know what I'm saying? Before you can get some responses back. So you know, I don't want the algorithm programming my discovery. So, you know, I like the bookstore. I mean, you'll probably say go to the library, because you're a library head, right?
Yeah, I like a library.
Yeah.
I haven't been in the library since the shutdown, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm not sure.
The library might be shut down too, though.
Right, or, I don't know. But, you know, so you had to figure out another discovery method. Maybe it's just being in the world, just being outside, just fucking with nature. And then, you know what I mean? And see what the nature talking about. You know what I'm saying? You might be able to get dope information from there. So the thing is, you just got to change. And that's the main part.
Yeah. Got to go with it and fix something now. I just, you know, it just dawned on me, I guess, in the midst of that. Not that it makes you identify certain things, but I realized loitering was so much of my lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like just being out there. Because I like to just be out there. Like, you know, there is sometimes some intention, like, you know, going to a library or a bookstore, whatever it is. You know, there's that discovery element. But then sometimes it's just like just being in the mix, you know, with nothing more than that, but just like, all right, let me go to this little area because I know it's typically popping over here, or back like when there was these offices. Mm-hmm. Let me fall through this office, say what's up to the people that I know over there. You know, it was certain offices where they would just, you know, they got a couch there where we could just kick it and just talk shit for like an hour. And, you know, they catch you up on what they working on and you finding out. You know what I mean? Like, there is just, it was such a it was like a weird movement of energy. You know what I mean? Like it was flowing, you know? Mm-hmm. And it'll all come back. It's just like I said, at this moment, there's been a disruption, so things are kind of getting back to their, you know, some things may never get back, but just, you know, certain things are, oh, no, that's not there no more. That's out of, like, even that, like, a lot of places that, you know, places you might want to go get something to eat from or old stores that you used to go to, mm-hmm. some of them didn't make it through. So right. you're like, oh, wow, damn, that's going, like, it's like, you know, just still discovering the casualties right. of this pandemic on every right. level, not just human, you know.
Right.
But yeah. Anyway. So but that's that. That's something I was paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But speaking of outside, I was paying attention to this Rolling Loud this year. And you know, Rolling Loud been around for a minute. But it just seemed, you know, of course, this is the revenge summer. Everybody was locked down last year, so everybody out in full force. And so I really, you know, got a chance to look at some of the shows and pay attention to the commentary that was going on around it. And that shit is a pretty impressive feat of cultural entertainment in one space. You know, we talked about festivals and stuff like that, but this mm-hmm. thing, you know, for it to be, you know, it was a festival that took a lot of artists that, you know, you wouldn't, some of which you wouldn't associate with big festivals, you know what I mean? Some of which would have, you know, could have just went the club lane and just popped at the clubs all the time. But talent that otherwise wouldn't get used on some of the bigger festivals, you know what I mean? And now you see it to where it's a full hip hop extravaganza. It's probably the biggest thing that's just all hip hop that I've seen in a minute, probably since what, like Rock the Bells. But like as a festival, I'm not sure. I ain't been in the streets like that, but just from a armchair observer. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like they're doing something special. I've never been, but you know, if I was in that range of artists, if that was my shit, I would go to that shit. But you know what I'm saying? I would go now if I had something to do, if I was getting paid to be there for something. But mm-hmm. you know, man, I might not just buy a ticket and be the old guy dancing to Kodak Black like the the lady.
She was getting it though. Yeah. She was getting it though. She knew every word. Yeah. I was like, oh shit, that was impressive.
The crazy part, the post that I saw it on said, this gonna be us in 2070, which
right.
I think they've really overestimated how old that lady was. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think that lady was that old. You know what I'm saying? You know. Mm-hmm. She probably was a good 49, and you know what I mean? And you know, mm-hmm. you know, she mm-hmm. didn't look like a 49 that didn't age very well. But I don't think she didn't look like she was no 70 or no shit like that.
Yeah. That post where I saw it, I think I saw it maybe on Complex or something like that, but it is funny as I'm getting older, you know, like you're on a different side of right. culture, right? Just right. in the way you're on a different view, you got a different vantage point, mm-hmm. right? So like when I was looking at the comments, they weren't being foul, but they was like, all right, grandma got that, she right there with it. Okay, granny. Okay, da 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 da. And it's like, ah, you know what I mean? Like she's older than you, but don't throw it in the, you know what I mean? Like they killing her.
Right.
But because what's interesting about that is like I think, and I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, shout out to my man Sparky Griswold. We was having a conversation about just like, you know, he's got kids and, you know, like somehow we got into the conversation of how our parents' generation, like this hip-hop generation, mm-hmm. there was an actual disconnect musically between our parents' generation and us musically. Mm-hmm. Because between them, hip-hop emerged. Like, hip-hop is not soul, it's not R&B, it's related, but it's not, it's its own genre. Its own rap music is its own genre. You know, if you were somewhat, I guess, a cool parent, maybe you knew a little bit of it, but oftentimes it was often greeted with, what is that? You know what I mean? And that's in the polite sense. You know what I'm saying? A lot of it, that's, what's that noise? What's that? That hippity, you know what I mean? All of that shit.
Turn so they that not, bullshit off.
Go yeah, ahead. If that, what, yeah, exactly. All of that. Because it was something that was, it was something that I think they were pointing out, and I forget what the most recent sample was, but they were saying, yo, the sample, when Big used Between the Sheets and when Keith Murray used Between the Sheets by the Isley Brothers, it was 11 years old as a song.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? And then they were saying some song that's like 11 years old now is being used, but it just feels a lot different. And I was like, yeah, the reason being is because, you know, back then, your average Isley Brothers fan would probably not be a Keith Murray fan. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Whereas you could be somebody like that woman in that video. She might have been listening to Snoop and Tribe and whomever when she was younger. And for whatever reason, she liked Kodak Black. So she's had like a full damn near lifespan built on hip hop. So there's going to be more. Like, man, I mean, me and Vlad were having a conversation about like just how nursing homes are going to change. You know what I mean? It's going to be nursing homes playing hip-hop. It's going to be nursing homes with video game systems. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just a different culture generation-wise than what's going on now. But, yeah, salute to homegirl. But, yeah,
Now, it's interesting. I thought you was about to make this other point. I seen a point made about, like, say you took Biggie did Between the Sheets and it was an 11-year difference. Now, it's somebody sampling hip hop with 20-year difference or 25-year difference, you know what I'm saying? And that's a hip hop record, you know what I'm saying? So, it's you know, hip hop has grown to where it expands a wide swath of ages because of how long it's been around, you know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, you're gonna get it. Like I said, I would be, I ain't gonna dance, I might not catch the viral dance, but you know, I would be out there and listen to that shit.
Right.
Like that actual song, that Kodak Black song that she was singing, I love that beat. But I like the Lil Wayne version better than the Kodak Black version, just simply off the fact that I heard the Wayne version first. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I didn't know it was a Kodak Black song until later, and it was like, oh no, that's Kodak Black. Like, oh shit, that's what's up. So you know, it's interesting how the politics of age plays into social media when you got everybody looking at the same platform but breaking it down differently in their own little silos. So to them, shit, we ain't gonna be that old till 2070. You know what I'm saying? Then as a as somebody who really looking at it, you like, nah, you gonna be that old, you know what I'm saying? 2035. You know what I'm saying? Why you bullshitting? But it gets weird when you got all of these different ages, all of these different classes, all looking at the same information, and you could see everybody's comment on it. And it's so wildly and vastly different from each angle. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's wild, too, because it's so, age is very abstract until you get up on it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you just don't really have an idea for what it means to be 40 when you're 20. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're 20, like, you could still be in the mind state of feeling like, damn, if I ain't get my shit done by 30, I'm washed. Like, you could, and truly feel that in your mind, in your bones, because your peers are in their 20s, if not even younger. You know what I mean? You might not hang around a lot of people. You might not be exposed to people that are older than 30 that are, you know, living lives that feel relevant to a life that you would live, you know, outside of public figures, you know what I mean? But like, you know, like your purview is like your peer group, you know what I'm saying? So you don't really realize what it is until you kind of get there, and then you start, you appreciate different shit. Like, you know, it's like, oh, man. It's like, yo, there's a point where, not to get super, fuck it, man. Like, yo, there's a point where MILF porn was a thing. Now, GILF porn is a thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's people like, GILF, like grandmothers.
Oh, Lord.
You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, like, oh, Lord, indeed. But, yo, there's some grandmothers out there that look all right. You know, there's a lot of that. I just was watching. I was looking at this one woman who I follow on the gram. And she's not old at all. She's probably, like, in her late 40s, if that. Maybe even her early 40s. But, like, and I'm not even sure if it's died off, it's probably died, but like her whole wig piece is gray. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? And that's become a thing, like, over the last few years. Like, a lot of women, like, if they gray a little bit, they might go all the way silver. You know what I'm saying? Just their whole shit. But her shit was styled out, like, in a way where if it was just, like, black or brown hair, but it was just, the whole shit was gray. The shit looked all right. You know what I mean? And it was just like, I don't know if that, maybe because I'm in my 40s and I'm like, I could appreciate that. I don't know how I would feel about that if I was 21. Right. But what I'm saying is, I just see that. And back to homegirl at Rolling Loud, I got to put a button on two things with Rolling Loud. What I was more impressed with, not even her dancing, what I guess I didn't really expect much on the dance tip, but I was just impressed with the fact she knew every lyric.
Right.
Every lyric. Like, I watched it a couple times. She knew all of that shit. So I thought that was fire. And then there was another, I don't know if you saw, just the last, put a little bump on Rolling Loud, though. Well, two, I know you said you wanted to check it out. I think Rolling Loud is actually still on, it's online, too.
Yeah, I've been watching it. Which is
always a good entry point.
Yeah, I've been watching it on the YouTube performances. I've been watching all the performances.
I got to check them out. Yeah. I haven't watched it, but my man Layton, shout out to my man Layton Lake Show over at Generation Now. He tweeted, he was like, one thing Rolling Loud gonna do is remind you that you ain't 19. And I ain't even talking about the music. I'm talking about the walking. I thought that shit was hilarious. Right. But yeah, man.
Sure.
You
know. But it's like, Rolling Loud, what it did was, you know, one, this one is, I know they do them in different cities, but this one in Miami, you know what I'm saying, it always gets a lot of press because, you know, it seems like every year somebody gets arrested an artist gets arrested going into Rolling Loud damn near every year. You know, Kodak Black the other year, Lil Wayne, two people got arrested this year, some of these new artists. But it's in Miami. It's in the neighborhood I grew up in, you know what I'm saying, at the Hard Rock Stadium, you know, which was Joe Robbie when I was growing up. And
who is Joe Robbie? Because I remember always hearing that on the football games.
Joe Robbie was the owner of the Dolphins back then.
Okay. Got it. Damn, so, that's big.
Yeah.
Was it named after him while he was the current owner?
That's a flex. I think he had just died or something like that.
Okay.
Or he was, you know what I'm saying? Or he was, nah, he wasn't. I think he had sold it to Ross. This cat, Ross. But anyway, it's in you know, my neighborhood, and then I was on the gram, and one of our listeners, Sonny, you know, he was talking. He had posted a little map of how, you know, Joe, that stadium is right here. He grew up right there, and he never thought that hip hop would be in Miami like that, and now it's hosting one of the biggest hip hop festivals, and then. Mm-hmm. I had to look at the map, and then, like, you know, like if he was on the left hand side of the map, my house was like at the bottom right corner, closer to the stadium. I'm like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Me too. And it's real, like, you know, at that time you couldn't see the outside hip hop community in Miami as big as it is. You know what I'm saying? You had Luke, and Luke brought every rapper that was rapping to Miami for concerts, like, you know what I'm saying? Right. But nothing like where it was like, yo, this is, it wasn't until like maybe How Can I Be Down when what's my man name? We talked about his restaurant the other day.
Puff?
Nah, Real Housewives.
Oh, Peter.
Peter Thomas. Peter Thomas. Right? Peter Thomas brought How Can I Be Down to Miami. And that was like the first time like the industry just like came in and posted up on Miami Beach, though. You know what I'm saying? But
right
during the time, you just couldn't see it. You know what I mean? It was New York or L.A., you know what I mean? But now, you know, you see it real heavy in Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta is the industry right now. And then you're seeing a lot of presence, you know, coming across the bridge inside the city of Miami, which, you know what I'm saying, at the time you couldn't think of it. And so he was saying that. And then at the same time, I saw a post that was like, you know, this is the 25th, the other day, July 25th was the 35th anniversary of the 2 Live Crew first album. You know what I'm saying? 2 Live is what we are. Which basically invented bass music. You know what I'm saying? And like, damn, that's what, like you said, like between the sheets, when we was growing up, seems like it was so old. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When Biggie sampled it, it's like, God damn, that's the OGs. That's my parents' shit. But 2 Live Crew was 35 years ago, dog.
Wow.
Nigga. God. You know what I'm saying? That's like saying, that's like growing up, like even growing up in the 80s, like when people talked about the 50s, that was like, nigga, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A whole another life. And that's the same thing what we talking about between 2 Live Crew and now. And but, you know, while we couldn't see the industry inside our city, that record lets you know that, you know, our city can go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And and be a part of the play. You know what I'm saying? When my homeboy Dallas, he used to own World NYC sneaker shop on the Lower East Side.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He from the Bronx. And we was talking about some Miami shit. And he was like, yo, when that damn I can't even think of that. Doodle Brown, when that shit came out. He was like, he was in a skate key. And the first time they heard it, it was like, and I could never imagine this happening in the Bronx. So, so he in a skate key, and they say that shit came on. He's like, man, their mind was so blown. He was like, yo, we ain't know what to do. It was like, we ain't know what to do. We was just banging on the lockers, like, ah, and screaming, like, we ain't know what the fuck to do. And and I knew he was telling the truth because that's exactly how we felt. You know what I'm saying? And we was in Miami. We felt like, oh, shit, like, what the fuck do we do to this goddamn song? You know what I'm saying? It's like crazy. So, it was interesting to know that. You know, even though our style wasn't the majority style and our music wasn't the most popular hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Or even respected to a certain degree. When that shit came to town, it came to town. Like, you could go to the club with it if you couldn't do nothing else. You know what I'm saying? And to, you know, we used to wear that, you know, basically we call that shit put on your UM hat when you go out of town. Cause that you wearing the whole Miami thing at wherever you go. Cause it's like, you know, it's a culture like there ain't no a lot of other cultures like Miami culture. So when you go, you be carrying that shit with you all the time.
It's definitely its own thing, especially back then. Like, it was so different than anything. And then that's just the music. Then the visual of it was a whole nother thing. And you like, oh, shit. Like, it's, you know, it's like it's almost like a whole entirely different set. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like when the DJ go from rap to reggae, it's a different mindset, you know? And then as it, you know, as it got bigger than, you know, maybe bass music or Miami music, like it started to become when, you know, I used to call it like booty shake music. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I was, that's what I would hear when I was in college. They say that was the set. Oh, that's the booty shake set. I remember, like, that shit is it's a vibe. It's a whole different, like, it's a whole different experience, man. Right. I remember trying to get to this club called The Gate. I think it was way out in Decatur. Mm-hmm. And it was the first Freaknik that I had been to, and we was trying to get to The Gate because it was going to be Luke and Lil' Kim at The Gate. Mm. So you knew that shit. And this is Freaknik, so this shit's going to be stupid. We never got there because the traffic was ridiculous. Like traffic, I think we finally might have got somewhere close. Police was shutting it down. You couldn't even get in by that time. There was no park. Like it was like the entire highway was a parking lot. Mm-hmm. But it was fun in pursuit of it. Just the thought of going. It's like one of those. It's like something a movie could be made of. You know, like when the movie's like, we just got to get to such and such. And that's the whole basis of the movie. And everything that happens throughout the movie is in pursuit of getting to this end goal. And at the end of the movie, even if you do get there, you don't get there. That shit is just the finish line. It's not even about that no more. It's about everything that happened along the journey. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, just the thought, like just what that represented, you know, like that was, you know, there was like, and obviously, Luke is the guy for the parental advisory sticker for explicit lyrics and shit like that, right? So there's like, obviously, there's gangster rap that's explicit. But when I think about like Miami Bass or Luke and, you know, the live show and all of that shit, like it's its own category. It is like, no, this is why they got the sticker. You know what I mean? Like, this is the sticker shit.
Right.
Yeah, man. It's a different vibe. Yeah.
It was funny. It was funny because, like, when Throw the D came out, which was the first one, right? Their first single as doing that type of music. Two Live Crew existed before they came to Miami, before Luke brought them to Miami. And but when they made the song Throw the D, it was no other song in the world that sounded like that. You know what I'm saying? It was its own thing. It was like a brand new invention. And to be there and see it grow into a whole genre just for another town to be like, oh, that's booty shake music. Like it spanned from like one song. And, you know, everybody like Luke really absorbs all of the credit. You know what I'm saying? Because it was his record company. You know what I'm saying? He was the front man after a while. But, you know what I'm saying? I really like to give a lot of credit to actually crafting that sound to Mr. Mix. You know what I'm saying? Because he one made the beats. And he one scratched all the nasty shit on top of it. You know what I'm saying? And made it to what it was. His scratching was like beyond it just being a danceable beat. The nigga was a fucking artist on that scratching shit, because the way he was scratching was a lot different than what at the time. It was basically you had Jam Master Jay doing the jiggy 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 jiggy, and his nigga was in there playing that shit like Jimi Hendrix. You know what I'm saying? And then later you started to hear like Jazzy Jeff coming out of Philly, and a lot of Philly DJs was really crazy scratches and shit. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? But to hear that shit at that time, 1985 or some shit like that, and it was mind-blowing.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine being up close to see that shit.
Right.
And it's you know, early stages as that shit was starting to blow up. Like, you was in the beginning of that bitch.
We was in the skating rink. That where they was at when they was
in the laboratory.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? We were the guinea pigs on that shit. We gonna play it for these kids. I'm one of them kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But then as that shit grew, I was in college, but I happened to be home this particular weekend when I Wanna Rock came out. The first time I heard I Wanna Rock as a song. But the thing about it was that beat, I had already heard that beat before. You know what I'm saying? Because the cat who produced, I think Devastator made that beat. He had, he gave it to this group of dancers that used to dance like all around talent shows and shit like that. Like some dudes, like, you know what I'm saying? Back when, you know, like, the dudes had these dance groups and shit and do the booty shake shit or the, you know, Throw the D shit at the time is what we was calling that shit. And they had that beat and was killing shit, going around just killing shit, a dance group called No Good But So Good. And the niggas would just go around town killing shit. And then Luke had a club, and that one of the nights at the club, they just played that I Wanna Rock shit. The whole shit just went crazy. And them niggas was in there. And they didn't know that Luke had the beat. So them niggas was upset. Because I guess the producer sold it to Luke, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? And Luke made a song out of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So the niggas was like, niggas was upset. Niggas stormed out the club. And everybody was just wild and rocking, nigga. Niggas just wasn't even paying no attention to it. I just happened to see them niggas, like, visibly upset and storming out. But that shit changed everything. That song right there was crazy.
Is that the one that you think is the breakout record?
No, no. I mean, he had plenty of records before that. It was just when I Wanna Rock was the pinnacle. I Wanna Rock became the, you know what I'm saying? That was the pinnacle of bass. After that, you know what I'm saying? It was, you know what I mean? It started dwindling. But that was the highest it went. I Wanna Rock.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it was plenty of, he had plenty of songs in between, you know, from Throw the D to Move Something to Get It Girl to, you know, JT Money had Shake What Your Mama Gave You, but Move Something was big too. Move Something was the first one that had the scantily clad girls, you know what I'm saying? Which basically ushered in, you know, stripper culture for real, for real. That was the first time that was used in hip hop in that manner. Luke Dances. That was the first video that had them damn Two Live Crew girls. So it's a lot.
When I was in college, I would obviously I Wanna Rock is a huge, it's a huge record, and you know it's classic. But when I was in college, I remember Scarred was that shit.
Right.
Like that was the that was the one right then. Like when that shit, that was like the Benjamins of the, you know what I mean, of that set. Like when that shit came on, it was a problem. That shit,
that was a moment.
Yeah, man. Oh, that shit was fire. I might listen to that after I get off. I ain't heard that shit in a minute, but that shit would change. That would change the entire mood, man. Oh yeah.
Shout out to Uncle Al, cause that that beat, the song they sampled, the Barry White song that they sampled, Uncle Al was the one that popularized that record in Miami. Like, just he was, you know, he used to dig in the crates and just bring back shit. Like he was playing Barry White, like that shit was brand new. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Barry White was 20 years old at the time. You know what I'm saying? So he was he'll pull out some shit and just be riding on top of it and do all his little chants and all that shit on top of it.
Right.
I would venture to even say, because he was the one saying that shit before that shit was on that record. Talking about Santa Claus coming, Santa Claus, Uncle Al was saying that shit as a street DJ, you know what I'm saying? So, and even the phrase "Don't Stop, Get It," is attributed to Luke, but all Miami DJs were saying that shit all my life. That was just a popular thing DJ said. Don't stop, get it. You know what I'm saying? That was just what they would say as they rocking. But Luke put it on the record.
And you don't stop.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Huh. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, that was just some shit Miami niggas said. But Uncle Al was the one saying that Santa Claus coming and playing that, that it's Together Brothers theme song. It's a movie called Together Brothers. That sample comes from, that was the theme song to that movie. Barry White did it.
I'm going to check that out too. Is that what he said? I thought it was Cat Keep Coming. Is Santa Claus coming at the beginning of
that? He said Santa Claus coming. Then he said Cam D's coming. Like they say all kind of shit in the song. Verb coming, Trick coming. But.
Okay, got it.
Uncle Al was, he used to be like Santa Claus coming. Ding, 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 ding. You know what I'm saying? Just ride out on it.
Right. That's dope, man. I always appreciate dope DJs that do something like that. Like, just play something that's 20 years old, but it's so dope that I know when I play it, you're going to feel this. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the obvious. Like, that's the curation. That's the, you know, that's real tastemaker shit. That's not as abundant. Well, I don't want to say that because maybe I'm not in the world like that. But to those DJs that do that, man, I really salute y'all because... That's the talent. I feel like the rest of it is like just being a record player. Right. You know what I mean? Like you could play what's hot, like that's already proven. But if you could still break some things and create a point of view, that's some of the best parties and some of the, you know, best functions when the DJ, you know, And if you don't know that DJ, by the end of the night, you asking who that DJ was, mm-hmm. rather than, oh, yeah, they just played. You know, they played the same shit that every other club playing tonight. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But that's I don't know if it's a lost art, but it is an art for sure.
No, I mean, it's not lost, but in order to really be that, you had to have a platform. Like, you had to be, like, Al was outside. Like, they setting up speakers on the corner, and they there every Sunday. They had the underground radio right. station. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, he had a place to do that shit. And the, you know what I'm saying? So it's not always you under pressure to make people dance. But once you do that shit every day on the underground station, and you playing that shit every Sunday on the Ave, everybody know it's you, because right. it's like repetition. You know what I'm saying? And so right, by right. the time it got on Luke Record, that shit had been in the streets just repetitively over the last few years. You know what I'm saying? And right. and it's like every time you hear, like, oh shit, these niggas riding out, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and I think too, to add to just even the platform part of it, even probably even before that, I think you got to have a love for music,
mm-hmm.
and you got to have the heart to play that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's very, you know, like it, you could clear the floor, and that hurts.
Right.
If you have a DJ and the niggas walk off, that'll hit your ego right there, bing bow. So you know, just you gotta love music. So when you love music, it's like, oh nah, I know how to. It's almost like getting dressed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might mm-hmm. not be looking at the most obvious things, but you could see the through line between that shirt and them sneakers. You know what I'm saying? From this year ago, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. this record came out, but when I listen to that, it makes me think of this. And I don't mm-hmm. think people see that connection, but I'm going to bring it to them, and they're going to be like, oh, you know, like, yeah, that's fly.
That shit easier to do when your ass outside every day, and you always got somewhere to go, and you always, you know what I'm saying? It's easy to make that connection between that shirt and that shoes and get people to pay attention to it. When they know you, mm-hmm. you coming outside every day. You know what I mean? And that's when you just in the house and you thinking about it, and then you try it one day, and people are like, okay, they might miss it that day. So all of this shit is all we saying here is you got to be consistent about whatever it is. If you want that shit to catch on and you want to be able to leak and break new things, first you got to get people's attention. You know what I mean? And keep mm-hmm. people's attention, and you know, continue doing it and doing it and doing it until you're in that place where you are an authority to play what you want, and people gravitate to whatever you're doing because they know you're gonna be riding.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it's a lesson for us all in that somewhere.
Uh-huh. Oh man, speaking of booty shake. I've been looking at this. I've been having this as a topic for the last few weeks, and I've been meaning to bring it up. But I don't know if you've been paying. If you see this on your, maybe my algorithm is different. But I've been seeing, what I call like massage fucking. You know, shout out to Atlanta because they had a Paperboy had a record called Mucking. That's massaging and fucking. And that's what I think about when I see this shit. It's like these couple cats that are doing these like real erotic massages. And obviously, I'm sure erotic massage has been around for a long time. Mm. But this shit just look like sex choreography. Like, it don't even really look... I mean, I don't want to say don't look therapeutic because it could be, but it don't look like it does not look like traditional massage. Right. It looked like some old X video type shit. There is not just, you know, a massage is gonna be a massage. You know what I'm saying? Gonna hit the shoulders, hit the legs, hit the back, you know what I mean? Like the neutral areas. It might hit some butt cheeks, you know what I mean? It might hit the buttocks a little bit. This is going right there. This is like worship. This is going all in there. Then it's like there's moments where there's like they putting the woman in different positions. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? This ain't just lay across the little massage table. Nah, this is arch your back, poke your ass out like this. I'm going to slap your ass a couple times. I don't know what therapy that's giving, but I'm going to slap your ass like I'm really hitting this. There's some hair pulling.
It's probably stimulation, I'm sure. Stimulates dopamine. Gets the hormones going. You know what I'm saying? Racing to the brain, blood moving. You know.
Look at you. You sound like the ambassador. You sound like
So slap on the ass. You know what I'm saying? Probably get the dopamine going. I mean, shit. You know.
I'm sure. I would imagine, but it's not. You know, like I don't know if they doing that at Bliss. You know what I'm saying?
No, they're not doing that at Bliss. They doing that on the internet, right. And it's accompanied by a meme. Would you let your girl do this? You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Yeah, I see that too. Yeah, I see those too. But yeah, I've seen them without even that question. Mm. Like, that's where probably where I first got introduced to it. Was like, okay, I see where they setting it up at. But then I started to see, I guess because I seen that, I started to see like this, a nice little, she was like, that's like a thriving market out there with cats out there that's getting to it. And, you know, they'll have a whole account full of videos. That's what we doing over here. Hit me in the DMs. This is what we doing. You know what I'm saying? And it's almost like, I don't know if they say it, but it's almost like, you know, when you see, it's almost like it needs a disclaimer. Because, you know, like when you see certain accounts, like weed accounts, where they're, you know, quote unquote, farmers, like they're growers, they grow the weed. So they'll have a bunch of photos of the latest harvest and the crops and up close photos of the plant, the buds and all of that. But it's always like, this is not for sale. This is just, you know what I mean? Like for, this is just to show you how it's done. This is not for sale. Please do not DM me. It feels like, and I might even seen it, it feels like there needs to be a disclaimer. Ain't nobody getting fucked. You know what I'm saying? But if you want a massage, because this shit be wild. That shit be wild. I was like, yo, this shit is interesting.
Yeah, but, it's probably a good vocation. You know what I'm saying? They probably got a steady client base where you could, you know, you don't have to, I guess they don't have to get involved with any type of real physicality or emotions. It's just pure physical relief without release. And you know what I'm saying? I could imagine there is a market for it. You know what I'm saying? So shit. Shout out to the entrepreneurial Mavericks.
The Mavericks. Yeah, shout out to them. Shout out to them. Slapping ass. Yeah, man. What else, man? Did you watch any of the Kanye album listening in Atlanta?
I popped in, but it was like on iTunes or whatever, and the video wouldn't play a lot of the time. So, you know what I'm saying? And then it wasn't really much to look at, no way. But, you know, so I popped in and heard a couple of tracks.
Okay. Yeah, I caught the tail end as it was going on, and it was interesting. Like, Kanye is a 100% original. You know what I mean? Like, you call him a weirdo. He's Kanye. Kanye is consistently Kanye, and it's some other shit, right? And what I respected about, one of the things I respected about the whole thing was just the pure audacity. Kanye's audacity game is out of here. It's different. So this man, and it was like, I was super impressed. This man sold out the Mercedes-Benz Stadium to hear the record. Basically, it's a playlist. It's to play the record. And the record wasn't even done. Like, there's verses missing, whatever. But that's not unordinary for Kanye, unfortunately. But what was so ill, just set-wise, just how it looked, was that shit was packed and it was just empty field and yay. And his red Gap jacket with no zipper and his new, you know, his new Yeezy boots. Just him playing that whole field dolo. You know what I mean? I don't even know if he had a mic, but just walking around feeling his shit, maybe lip syncing. You know what I mean? Pointing in the air a little bit, standing, stopping, like all eyes on him. Like it was the wildest showcase to see that. That shit was, it was something to behold. Like, yo, this cat here, that's another level. I've never, you know what I mean? Like, it was just like, nah, fuck it. I'm just going to go out there. When they play that shit, I'm just going to walk around and they're going to feel me. And I'm going to walk around for the whole album and y'all going to feel this shit. We might bring a few things back, whatever, whatever. And at the end of it all, I'm not dropping this shit. Which is also funny to me. Because I was like, I said to somebody, the group chat, we go back and forth about it. And I said, yo, I bet you this shit, I just have a feeling. First of all, it didn't sound completed. You know what I mean? Like, there were certain records where it just was, you know what I mean? There was no verses. And I'm like, I don't think he's just going to do that many instrumentals on a record, especially a record named after his mom. So I'm figuring he's going to name it after his mom. So he's going to try to really go all the way. And this is kind of somewhat, I don't want to say a pivotal moment for him, but it's a, you know, it's a moment, you know, he's still kind of winning back certain people that, you know, were not messing with his whole MAGA movement, you know what I mean? Like, and, you know, a couple other different things. You know, Kanye seems like, at least the last four albums, always kind of got to make the album that can go against the last thing that he did to where he got to win some folks back. So, but I was like, yo, there ain't no, I truly doubt. I don't believe that this is going to be available at midnight. I just don't believe this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure. And it was a lot of people was like, yeah, I'll take that bet because I'm pretty sure that shit's not happening either. But, and it didn't happen. It comes out now, supposedly going to come out August 6th. But, it's interesting. I know we want to get into a bigger conversation about Kanye in itself, but, the only thing, one thing that did surprise me in the moment, which I was happy to see, was when I heard the whole verse, you know what I mean? You know, wet and toast flow still. Mm-hmm. But, when I heard that whole verse, I was like, all right, I'm glad that they, you know what I mean? They seem to have maybe, you know, repaired their relationship, or at least on speaker terms, at least working together. Mm-hmm. Again, Hove said, you know, it might be the return of the throne. That was kind of cool just to hear that. Just more so than the verse itself, because the verse itself was whatever. I mean, it was some shit on there, but I got to listen to it when I get the album. But just, you know, if that ever happens. Right. But, you know, I was like, this shit is like, at this point, it might as well be an NFT. You know what I'm saying? Just that performance.
Right.
But it was cool to see that Hov and Ye are messing with each other again. They're cool again. What are your thoughts? And talk to me.
I mean, I don't buy that much into, you know, saying them breaking up and getting back together and all this. You know what I'm saying? I don't put too much on it because I feel like Ye calculates all of this. You know what I'm saying? I think he's very, you know, plots it out. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. Da 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 da. We'll do the MAGA shit. Get this popping over here. And then I'm going to get the blacks like back like this. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to post up in the A.
You said yay. I thought you said yay. You said yay.
Okay. I mean, Jay is calculating too, but you're talking about yay.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He on the campaign to do things back black. You know what I'm saying? He brought in, you know, a lot of these black cats that he used to work with that he got rid of. You know what I'm saying? John Monopoly. And you know what I'm saying? A lot of the Chicago cats that was, you know what I'm saying, he wasn't rocking with during a certain era. He brought all them back. Now they doing all the black shit. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It feel like to me, it's just me. You know what I'm saying? Because, all right, next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to return to the black and, you know what I'm saying, and capture that shit all over again. Watch this, how I'm going to do it. Then he bring up, I need my black team back on squad. He bring everybody back, you know what I'm saying? They plotted out. We're going to do this thing in the A. Then I'm going to stay, and then, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to rent out the whole dome to finish the album in the A, which is the blackest city in America right now. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like it's a whole, I always feel like he has a marketing plan. You know what I mean? Boom. He got the MAGA people. He got the hype beast and the, you know what I'm saying? That's his solid core of people, right? His older audience, you know what I'm saying? Some of them fell off. He going to bring them back into the fold and gain that respect of the black audience. And that's how he the return of the Messiah, whatever, the prodigal child, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the fuck, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the marketing strategy is. It just feels like, to me, that's what it is. And it's interesting to watch because it's working. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm peeping it, but that shit working. People are legitimately at odds with themselves sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I don't, you know, nigga, the MAGA shit, that was crazy, but you know, yeah, he's a generational talent, and I gotta, you know what I'm saying? It's similar, and you know, people would never agree to say it. It's similar to the R. Kelly fans, you know what I'm saying? They like, shit, I know he did that shit, but you know, it's R. Kelly, this shit is, you know what I'm saying? This man is amazing. Now, I don't want to put that type of energy on Ye, but the MAGA shit and coming back, it's like the same type of conflict that you had to go through if you were a fan of his, to like, ah, shit, this nigga did some wild, weird shit, but he Kanye. I got to fuck with him. I got to at least listen to this shit. So, you know, I look at it like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little removed from Ye. So I'm looking at it from more of a macro perspective and not as a genuine fan, but I respect, you know what I'm saying? Again, there's lessons to be learned in, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, audacity in strategy and actually just playing the whole field and just attempting to do things that people thought was impossible. You know what I'm saying? I think that's where he plays. He plays it like, you know what? I'm going to go fuck with the most vile white man and then come back. Watch that shit. Move to Wyoming. Mm-hmm. Build my base. You know what I'm saying? Build my base of people who didn't even fuck with hip hop like that. And then I'm going to come back and do that shit at the top, nigga. I'm going to kill all this shit. And all I'm going to buy my Gap clothes and my Adidas. And that shit working.
Well, I'll say, Gap clothes, Adidas aside, this is the thing I peep with Ye. I get to your point, R. Kelly, other people. It's I always say, never underestimate the strength of the jam. You know what I mean? Like, if you could put together some shit, and especially if you've established yourself as somebody that could make records that are, like, defining, like, they put you in a time and place, you know what I mean? Like, and you could do that consistently. Like, you really know how to, you're gifted musically. You know what I mean? Like, you know how to cut through. And it comes every so often. I don't, that's not everybody. Some people are good, some people aren't. You always kind of get a, you could get a shot. You get another chance because you good at that shit. I do find that like you saying, his I'm Going Black Again. I think he did that in that last album cycle too. I don't know if it was the Jesus is King or whatever.
Yeah, Jesus is King. You know, going to the churches and the HBCUs. Yeah, I mean, I think that was one
Chicago
step.
Radio, crying. Now, he got back with John Monopoly and all of that back then. Right. Like, he was, you know what I mean? All of that. He even said it in, like, I'm coming back to Chicago. I want to live here in Chicago, all of that other shit.
Right.
I kind of look past all of that, like, and maybe because I was a big Kanye fan, but it, like, the antics, I wasn't, like, looking the other way. Because they, you know, like, hey, look, you could do whatever you want to do politically. I'm not somebody that's like easily led by what people believe politically. Like, that ain't my thing. If that's how you, you know, if that's how you feel, that's what you feel, that's who you put in your, you know, I might side eye you. I might look at you crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not following you. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, that's some other shit. You on some other shit. You know what I'm saying? But if I, you know, like, the reason that I even rock with you is based on music. If the music is dope, depending, you know, depending, certain things you could do where it's like, whoa, all right, chill. But like, and the Trump shit was, it was right on that line. You know what I mean? The Trump shit was right on that line because it was just like, but then my thing with Kanye is I see them two similarly. You know what I mean? Obviously, Trump is probably a little bit more extreme in the way of, you know, Trump is a white guy who has no problem, you know, enabling race, emboldening racism, racists, or, you know what I mean, leveraging racism, or, you know, he had obviously a huge platform, the president's, you know, the office of the president, to affect way more people than Kanye would, you know what I mean, in a way that's way more harmful. So, but as far as, like, ego goes, and as far as, you know what I'm saying, like, it goes from, the audacity could also meld, it could kind of bleed into stunts and, you know what I mean, like, shenanigans and shit like that. So, like, I see that. I see he could get on his little P.T. Barnum type shit. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's impressive. Sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes it could be cringe. Sometimes it could be like a swing and a miss. But the fact that he go for it is crazy. But typically what grounds it all is when the album is delivered and it's a dope album. It's been a while since he had a dope album. He's had some pretty decent albums. I don't think he's ever had a whack album still. Like, I think that, you know, maybe that's just because I'm a little biased, but I don't think he's had a super trash album. I think he's had disappointing albums for himself. Similarly, like the Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jay-Z has got a bad album. You know what I mean? There's some albums that are less, you know, they're not as good as the others, but he's compared to his own catalog. I think more so than anything, what killed me with Kanye is the music declining and then not delivering on that shit. Like, this might be the third project where it's not, like, it's almost like now you starting to look like that deadbeat artist. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you go through this grand, you know, like, these grand gestures, you having a big-ass listening party in a stadium, similar to when you had the listening party at the Garden and all of that shit. But then we still working on the album. The album ain't going to come out for a little while. We still working on it. Or we changing it every day. Or then we working on this album. It's supposed to drop. But the drop date comes and goes. I don't really say nothing about it. A year or more passes. And now you revving up the thing for the same album that was supposed to drop over a year ago. It's like, come on, Bob, what's going on? Like, that shit is more disappointing than all of the other shit, and it makes it even harder for the music. Because now I'm like, man, this shit got to be out of here. And I ain't really hear a whole lot of out of here when he was playing it in that stadium. It was okay. It was all right, but I ain't hear the redemption song. Right. I didn't hear the, you know what I'm saying? I ain't hear the step in the name of love. You know what I'm saying? I didn't hear that this time. So we're going to see what happens.
He trying. But when you say, like, I think I look at him and Trump in the same way. You know what I'm saying? Cuz the shit that Trump represented in his run-up campaign or whatever, it wasn't, I mean, he was racist, but he wasn't redneck racist. The people that he appealed to, you know what I'm saying? He put on a show to appeal to a certain artist. He don't give a fuck about switching codes and shit like that. That's how I look at Kanye. Like, he don't give a fuck about switching and doing shit that, you know what I'm saying? He's like, all right, I'll do this over here. I'm it's provocative. I'm gonna get him going. You know what I mean? So I look at him at the same, and I would, you know, while Trump in the office of president had power to do shit that was more dangerous than Ye. As far as influence, they on the same platform, talking the same shit on the same news. Trump gonna get probably more burned because he is the president, but I wouldn't discount the shit that Ye was saying at the time and the shit that he was promoting as any less dangerous to me. You know what I mean? But that's just
me. Yeah, no, I hear you. I see what you're saying. I think, I don't know about, I just think that Trump shit was a little way more widespread. You know what I mean? And I can't really gauge either one of them. They both have enormous influence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I just also add the fact that Trump was also like, you know, he had the tools and the access to affect policy.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like write shit into law and put judges into place that would really like Kanye will affect culture and you know what I mean? And maybe affect the way people think or whatever, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, or highlight people that may not be able, they shouldn't get there, but like Trump could put motherfuckers in full position. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like they could, you know, so
that's why
I see the difference in, go ahead.
No, but when you're running yourself as an agent of the motherfucker who's pulling the laws and the shit, but you're representing as an agent of him, shit, you just as, you know what I'm saying, you just as bad. You running right, like the people you're influencing are running right into the same trap that was laid by Trump. And they might not have been running up that trap if you wasn't out here pushing that shit.
Right. Yeah, you know, you're an agent or you're a pawn or whatever. Who knows? But you definitely leading these motherfuckers to the slaughter on a certain level. You know, you're a promoter. You're a promoter, but you still like a sub-promoter.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got your crowd. I got my crowd, but I own this club. Right. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, whatever. But we'll see what happens. It's funny, man. It's kind of like, I was looking at the whole shit. Like I said, I was more so struck by like the audacity, like just the, I guess the spectacle of it all. You know what I mean? Like, as far as everything else, I think I'm a little burnt out on Kanye, a little exhausted, especially, like I said, and most of it has to do with, one, the music has kind of declined. I think he still has the potential to put some dope shit. I like the little Shikari Richardson commercial. I thought that was kind of cool. It just kind of set a mood. I don't know if it's a great song, but it set a mood for a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
But just the like, the fucking deadbeat of it all, the whole, like, yo, we gonna really work this anticipation. But I ain't really got shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you like, you know what I mean? Like, when you start getting that on you, this motherfucker ain't about shit. You know, that's hard to get off you. That motherfucker be on some bullshit. You know, motherfuckers give you the preface. Yeah, that motherfucker right there be on some bullshit. You got to dig yourself up out of that shit. He got a little bit of that on him. So we'll see. But it is what it is. I want to talk about Raising Kanan. You see the latest episode?
I did.
I think it's only right.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? What you think?
I think the jury.
Unless you want to talk about some other shit.
I think the jury that they got Joey Badass in is hard. They getting the jury right on some of these characters. Some of them wearing it a little crazy, like, you know, saying outside the collar type shit on some of them. But the jury that Joey Badass is wearing is some real truck jury shit. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with it. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times TV shows get that wrong. And I think they're getting it right on this show. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Now, they killing on the styling and all of that. Even, like, just selling the boosted low, like even that, like that little part of it all, like they're winning as far as the feel. The feel, it looks, you know, it's they set the scene real good, and I like the storytelling, man. I'm liking so far. I'm really feeling Rocky. I'm really feeling how she's coming through. How the moms is, how she making it happen. Bettina Miller, that's the actress. Mm-hmm. I like. She's working that role. Like she's this show has made me like it's in the Power universe, mm-hmm. but from episode one, it's only two episodes in, but like. And obviously, I guess because they don't have to have any, I mean, outside of Kanan, and this is young Kanan, so it's not as obvious. They don't have any real, beyond the name, they don't really have any ties to the previous Power universe, you know, Power IPs. You know what I mean? The beginning Power. I mean, outside of Kanan and, right. you know, Queens and all of that shit, but like, this feels like a period piece, so much so that like, I can forget when I watch it, at least these two episodes so far, that this ain't related to Power. You know what I'm saying? Like, Power Book 2, Tasha pop up, Tariq popping up. What's my man's name? The agent. I forget his name. The white guy that was always trying to get Ghost can never get Ghost. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Rashad pop up, obviously, because that's also that era.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that was later day or whatever. This, it's all going to lead to that at some point.
Right.
But right now in this moment, it feels like its own right. separate vibe, like its own entity, its own thing. Right. And go ahead. That point, like the way that like Raquel is holding it down, just in these two episodes, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like her as a protagonist. I like how we seeing a lot of the shit. Obviously, we see it through Kanan's eyes, but she leads the story too, and it's a different approach. It's right. different than Monet. It's different than Ghost. It's right. I like it. I like it. That's what
yeah.
I'm
I
saying.
Mean, as a good origin story should, it should feel like its own thing. But I'm sure the young Ghost and the young Tommy is going to come into play at some point because they knew each other as the youth. So
yeah,
I'm sure it'll come along as Kanan starts getting further out in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm wondering when that happens. You know what I'm saying? Whether that happens in this season or not. You know what I mean? So while it is definitely gives you a whole nother vibe, it is also, I also like the fact that it's connected to a story that we already know. You know what I mean? So okay, we looking at Kanan and how he becomes Kanan. And really in Power, you know, Kanan kind of popped in and out. He was a major presence in the show, but he wasn't like your daily fixture. You know what I'm saying? We didn't know a whole lot about him. You know what I'm saying? We just knew he was dangerous. He was in jail. He got out, you know what I'm saying? He was causing some troubles here and there, and then he became Tariq's stepdaddy and shit, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Not real stepdaddy, but you know what I mean. It's good to kind of see where they take that, and then they could really dig into how he became the, you know, the legend that he was to them, to Ghost and Tommy. So, you know what I'm saying? Because he was the one, they said, that taught them the streets. You know what I'm saying? So Kanan taught Ghost and Tommy. So it's like, at what point in Kanan's criminal career does he become that guy? And we get to explore that in this show in a way that we couldn't in Power.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that they explore that for a little while before they bring the Power thing in there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how they do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it depends on how they do it. But, like, I hope they kind of rock out with this. It's cool to see a whole new ensemble. You know what I mean? Like, it's totally, this is a lot of new stories. Obviously, you know, Jukebox she appears in the later shit. And, you know, obviously Kanan and a few other people. But just to see some of this shit flesh out, it's going to be kind of, you know. it's been interesting, you know. Like, mm-hmm. I'm fucking with it. Yeah, 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 I like it. I like, it was sad to see how that whole shit played out. The whole, we got to pull a Reggie Jackson. And I was like, oh, what's this? And then, you get it at the end. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? But just how, you know, how cunning the moms is. Like, how Rocky, how she just put that whole shit together, like, immediately. But then, like, you know, it's like, it's funny because there was that conversation between her and Joey Badass or Unique, right? When he was saying, look, you know, I know you a drug dealer, I know you're in the streets, but you also a mother. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, my son didn't come from inside me, this, mm-hmm. that, and the other thing. So you're dealing with a different type of, you know, your motivation is going to be different. And you, there might be things that are going to be, there might be some lines that you can't really cross. And, you know, in theory, while that might be true, the way she moving, she could get very close, because I'm going to get your man clipped, and I'm going to do it so smooth that you not even going to realize that I'm going to kill your homie. You know what I'm saying? Look, I got New Jack City for you and your boy to watch. Tell him to come all over. I'm lining your man up. You my son. I love you to death, but I need to save you, because you eating cereal after a death, like, it's no ramifications for that. So a body got to drop, and I know that's your homie, and now you kind of told me that you got the guns from his brother, and you know what I mean? So now I placed him at the scene, so this is going to kind of work out. You know what I mean? But I'm going to do it smooth. Right. You know, it's like, it's kind of like, I don't know if people talk about this, but like, parents, you know, there's sometimes, like, the role of a parent is an interesting role, because there's the expectation for what a parent could and should be, but then there's also the human side of just people. You know what I mean? People are going to be people. People have their own motivations. Just because they got kids don't mean certain things change. And sometimes, you know, maybe not always with the most ill intentions, but sometimes your kids can be, you know, pawns in what you're trying to accomplish. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, it's just like, you don't really hear about, like, you don't really think about, or you might, I don't say you, I, or there's times when I'm looking at, like, there could be times when your mother might have lied to you, you know what I'm saying? Or your father might have lied to you and did some shit that you might not agree with, and you the kid, so you kind of got to stay in the child's place.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? That was a little grimy. And it's like it's that weird area where it's like, but you supposed to be my mom's, and then you dad, I get it. I see what you was doing. Or maybe I don't even see what you was doing, but I'm peeping that wasn't all the way kosher. There's a different negotiation in that moment, because this is somebody that's supposed to be someone who nurtures you, mm-hmm. but they're people just like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody does wrong. Right. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there could be such an idealized expectation of a parent that when they do some wrong or some grimy shit, it could be devastating. You know what I'm saying? And right. So anyway, but, yeah. But
the thing is, she already let him know. Like, you've crossed the line. You in this shit, and this is some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah,
she ain't got to tell him she finna line his boy up, because that ain't how it's supposed to go. But she gonna line his boy up to protect him, as Unique was trying to break down to her. She gonna protect him. She know he was a little stupid, but you know what I'm saying? He done crossed the line, and he in the middle of some street shit. You know what I mean? So now the streets gonna act accordingly, and he gonna catch up, obviously. We know he catches up, but this is first lesson in the shit. He done got two cats that he knew, close to his, you know, his age group, his peer set. Buck 20, and now his own homeboy. You know what I mean? Off the rip. Now that's how you started in the game. You know what I'm saying? That's a you know, I'm sure a lot of people start like that, but that's a rough start. You know what I'm saying? Like murder game on day one, that's real. That's real.
That's advanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. and it but it's so sudden, because what I caught too, what I was looking at, and to your point, yeah, she said, and she gave him, she tried to talk him out of it. Like, look, go to Stuyvesant, which I also wanted to ask you, is the escalator thing true?
Yes.
But, you know, okay, beautiful, that's bananas. But go to Stuyvesant, like, go be all you can be. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing this because I want you to have something different. I want you to, you know what I mean? Like, I want you to go further than I could even fathom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you could tell, you know, when they show the little things where she's talking about, like, the constellations and stuff like that, you could see that she's probably just as bright or was bright when she was, you know what I mean? Not to say she's not anymore, but, like, mm-hmm. all of that shit is now being used for the drug game.
Right.
But she probably had just as much promise as Kanan did, but she's where she is. She's in the right. game. And it's, you know, the stakes are very high, and, you know what I mean, the rewards, you know, could be high or they could not be. You know what I mean? It's very life or death.
Right.
Whereas, like, you could be a fucking astronaut. You could be a lawyer. You could be something that's, you know, quote unquote legitimate. You know what I mean? Something that could kind of, you know, you could be the change.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, you also my son, so you up close and personal just by proximity, and you seeing all of this, and from where you live and from who's getting shine in the neighborhood, this is way more familiar and in your face than anything else. All of those, you know, coveted professions or those good jobs or good careers, that's something that's an ambition. That's like, that's far off. Mm-hmm. This that I'm in, this that I got to contend with when I go to the school, I'm not trying to jump on a train and go all the way outside the community to go to this old, you know, this fucking amazing school. No, I'm not trying to leave. I'm trying to be here in the mix. You my moms, I see what you're doing. I want to hold you down. I want to help you. You know what I mean? I'm young and smart, and I'm eager, and I see holes in which the shit could be better, right? Mm-hmm. So she's saying all of this shit before that. Nah, go ahead, do this, get out of this, da-da-da-da-da. But, yo, you want to get in the game, and you jumped in the game on the escalated path. You straight into the murder game, so now you are in it. Mm-hmm. You didn't just sell a little bit of, you know, you ain't sell a couple, you know, some crack or some shit like that is negligible. You know what I'm saying? No, you took somebody out. You know what I mean? You went against a pack that I just commit. You know what I mean? Like, you really altered the path of my business. So now you in this shit, and now I ain't got no real choice. Even though you my son, I gotta kind of treat you just off the strength of what this really is. I gotta give it to you how it is. You know what I mean? Just for the integrity of the business. And it's got to be what it's got to be. I know you my son, and this is going to be crazy. It's fucked up, and it's going to be a conflict of interest. But if I got to stay true to this shit, you know, you on the board now. You know what I'm saying? And she tells him that all the time. You on the board. You know, like, when you shot that gun, listen, there's a bullet coming your way. You in this shit. There's nothing I could do. I could help you along, but trust and believe, there's no base. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no base, and you better smarten up. You better keep your head on a swivel. Be scared. Be alert. All of that. I'm telling you this while I'm still, you know, I'm pushing you to school and all of that shit. Be alert, though, Pop, because motherfuckers is talking about you, and you need to know. And I think in that one scene in the beginning where he eating and shit, like, he's eating his breakfast, and he's just like, he hearing her, but he not hearing her, going back to, are you hearing me or are you listening? It goes back to that whole shit. Like, I thought that was well played. Like, he just seemed like a teenager that might have bit off more than he could chew and don't really know the gravity of the situation.
Yeah, a little, you know, arrogant, what I'm saying? About it.
Like, a little arrogant, like, yeah, arrogant, just real super nonchalant about it. Like, he think it is what it is. He can handle it as it comes. I mean, that was the most fucking
looming ass 9X motherfucker with the phone book. I ain't never seen a nigga give a phone book out like that. I did that nigga, he threw that phone book. I was like, oh shit, Ricky! You know, who the fuck? But long story short, yeah. Long story short, like, it's, he's in a dirty game. And now your mother's not just your mother. You know what I'm saying? And it's going, it's a, that's a rude awakening. That's gotta be.
I think he wants that awakening. I don't think it's strange for him. I think he's in above his head and where he really thinks he should be. You know what I'm saying? Too smart for his own good. You know what I'm saying? But what I like about, you know, the shows that are, you know, being written nowadays about street culture is not very one-dimensional anymore. You know what I'm saying? Just a wildcat. No, you never really knew the humanity of a lot of these, you know what I'm saying, characters before. You know what I'm saying? Now you kind of getting into some more of the humanity of it all, thought process, you know what I'm saying? Something other than, you know, just I'm a street scientist and street genius or a violent criminal. I understand certain things, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, his mother probably was smart. You don't make it to the top of the dope game being no dummy. You know what I'm saying? You don't make it to the top of none of this shit being dumb. You know what I mean? You had to have a lot of different kinds of skills. You had to have, you know, you had to understand the business. You had to understand business itself. You had to understand people. You know what I mean? You got to understand, you know, violence and what comes with this shit and how to administer it as well as dodge it. You know what I mean? And when to do, you know what I'm saying? When you got to do either one. So it's a lot to be at the top of the game in the streets, you know what I'm saying? And become somebody, a breakout person that is like, yeah, that's the one. That don't come easy. You don't stay easy. So you got to be some kind of brilliant to make it to that point. You know what I'm saying? And even inside of the prisons, you know what I'm saying? How that shit, the hierarchy and the structure, that shit, you know what I mean? You don't make it to the top of that shit just being no dummy. You know? You might make it being strong and violent and just can't nobody whoop my ass, but the rest of these motherfuckers, you got to be smart to make it to the top of the pyramid and that shit. That's all I got. So I enjoy that they're adding some of these elements into these stories.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Nah, that's good so far. I like it. I'm enjoying it. It's a good new addition. You know, I liked it so far.
No doubt.
Yeah, that's it so far. I don't know if you got any other thoughts on it.
Nah, that's it.
Okay. I bet. Anything else you want to chop it up about?
Nah, I think I'm good, man.
Okay.
Cool, I ain't got nothing else. I'm cool, I guess. We an hour and a half in. We did it.
Yeah, we did what we did. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nobody got shortchanged here.
Nah.
It's time to transform and roll out. Until next week, you know, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. Yeah.
Conversation.